As I understand it, in your Sunday evening services, you have been working through the Sermon on the Mount, and we turn this evening to Matthew chapter 7, where we have this section which deals with judging others. I do honestly think I've drawn the short straw here this evening in many ways, but with God's help, we will work through these verses. Matthew chapter 7, and verse number 1, it's found on page 971 of the Pew Bible. And Jesus here is speaking, and he says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces." We thank God for his living word. Will you join me for a brief moment of prayer? Our Father, now as we turn to your word, we realize that of our own natural capacity, we cannot understand spiritual truth. And so we do pray for the illumination of your Spirit. We pray that what we know not, you will teach us clearly. What we have not, you will give us. And Lord, what we are not, you will graciously make us. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is an amazing thing, and it's something I remind myself of so often. It's absolutely amazing that the Lord has spoken to us in language we can understand. We look around us, as I said in my opening prayer, and we see the wonder of his creation, especially in the past week. And on a clear evening, we look up into the night sky, and we see the vast expanse of space. And our hearts tell us that, yes, there is a God. There is a great mind behind the universe. There is one who is sovereign and supreme. And then when we turn to the scriptures, we have in human language God disclosing to us his mind and his heart, and especially his will for our salvation. And when we come to Christ and embrace him as Lord and Savior, we're not left to just get on with the Christian life, but God lays before us very clearly how we should live, how we should act, how we should operate from day to day. And the Lord Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount, he's laying before us the standard for all Christians. This is how you should live. This is the best life of all. And again, I say we are so privileged that the Lord has spoken and is speaking to us in language that we can understand. I could really close my Bible in many ways here this evening because we know exactly what Jesus here is saying. I know exactly what Jesus is talking about here in these opening verses of Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." And I think if we're being absolutely honest, I know when I was reading these verses in my own study a few days ago, I was convicted to the very core, because I am someone who is always judging. I'm always looking at other people, and there's those critical remarks, not verbally or audibly, but within my own mind and within my own heart. And I think if we're being very honest here this evening, if I was to ask for a show of hands, every hand would have to go up. We do judge. We judge our brothers and sisters in Christ. We judge those who are outside the kingdom of God. We are the masters of our own fate so often. We are the captains of our own souls. We think we know best, and so we judge. We pass judgment on our neighbor. We pass judgment on the person who has offended us. We pass judgment upon the person who is doing us good. And when we think about it like that, the picture is so gloomy. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is setting before us how we should live the Christian life. And in living the Christian life, there is true freedom and there is true joy. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, you're not to live this life in your own strength. What did he say to his disciples before he went back to glory? I will not leave you comfortless. He promised that the Holy Spirit would come, his abiding presence and power, and it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can really live the Christian life. It's only through the Holy Spirit and his power and his agency that we can live lives where we're not always judging. We can live lives where we're not always seeing the problems in other people's hearts and minds and lives, but we see the problems first and foremost in our own. And this problem of judging, it wreaks havoc with the church of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry this evening, this in so many ways is so gloomy. It wreaks havoc within the Christian fellowship. I've been an assistant now in First Ballymena for 2 years, and I see how complicated and how complex church life can be. And as I go around various churches from time to time, I see that there are problems everywhere. And it always originates with pride. I'm right and you're wrong. I've done my best, you could do a whole lot more. I judge, but I've every right to judge because I'm in the right. And that's the attitudes we find so often. And what happens? The Spirit is quenched. There's no blessing. There are very few conversions. People are not growing in grace as they should. They don't have much time for prayer or for the deep study of God's Word. This is a serious problem. And yet it's one for which there is a remedy. And it's absolutely wonderful this evening that even if we're sitting here and we realize this is a problem in our own lives, there is a remedy. There is something we can do. And by the way, I have no 5-step plan this evening. There's one remedy, and that's to fix your mind and your heart firmly upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and to know the abiding presence and power of his Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ here is speaking very simply and very plainly. And what is the great remedy for judging, for having a judgmental spirit, for acting as a hypocrite, for putting on the mask? What is the remedy? It is to have the mind of Christ. Last Sunday evening, in God's providence, I was speaking on Philippians chapter 2 and that great hymn from verses 5 through to 11. And in the Philippian church, there were all sorts of problems. Paul was greatly encouraged because even though he was in chains, he was rejoicing when he thought about his brothers and sisters in Christ. But there were problems. There were disputes. I'm sure there was a hypocritical spirit. I'm sure people were judging. And what does Paul say? Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your mindset, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, and taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul is saying to those Philippians, and this is the remedy for a judgmental and an overly critical spirit. He's saying, have the mind of Christ. Look to Jesus. Meditate and focus upon him. And perhaps this is a good opportunity this evening, as many of us, I'm sure, are convicted by the words of Jesus, to pause and to ask ourselves, where is our focus? Where is our focus? Yes, we know the Savior. We know him not merely as a figure of history, but as a living, present reality in our own hearts and in our own experience. Yes, we know his saving grace, and we can point back to that time when we embraced him as Lord. We know that we're going to heaven. We know that we're saved. And yet we find our joy has gone, and perhaps this evening your joy has gone because you have an overly critical spirit. Perhaps very quietly and without anybody else noticing, perhaps you are passing judgment on your brothers and sisters in Christ. You see the speck of sawdust. You see the small problem in their life, and you don't see the huge problem in your own life. And it's time to get back to the Savior. It's time to repent of your sin and to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I said a few minutes ago that it's possible to quench the Holy Spirit. And when we are walking with the Lord, when we are meditating upon his word, and when we're spending much time with him in prayer, and it's really very simple, we know his blessing. We know the power of his Spirit. We know that help from the sanctuary. As the Spirit comes and bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God, but when we sin and when we disobey God's word, when we walk afar off from the Lord Jesus, when we keep him at a distance, when we say, I want to do things my way, I know better. Yes, I'm saved by grace and I thank you for that, but I want to do things my own way. It's no surprise that joy goes. And the life that's set before us here in the Sermon on the Mount is the best life of all. It's the Christian life. It's a life of happiness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a life where we know peace and contentment. And as I said to the young people last Sunday morning, our identity is found in Jesus Christ and in him alone. And as we walk and talk with him, we know his presence. We know his blessing. Perhaps it's time this evening for a closer walk with God. Perhaps it's time this evening, as the old hymn writer says, for that soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word. And if we take that to heart, and if we return to our first love, it will change our lives. Once more, we will know the power of God. We will have the assurance of salvation. We will also be of use to others, for instead of passing judgment upon them, we will draw alongside them. And if we don't physically do it, at least we will do it in some way. We will put our arms around them and we will say, I know, how can I help you? How can I walk with you through this problem? How can I minister to your needs? How can I be your servant for Christ's sake? And instead of having ourselves at the center of the universe, we now put Jesus as he should be upon the throne of our lives. And we go to him in prayer. And we have fellowship with his people. And where the people of God are united, there the Lord commands a blessing. Perhaps in these days of darkness, perhaps in these days of darkness, this is the only answer. Where is our nation going to end up? How far is it going to go? The great men of the word of this world speaking, especially at the present time as they come up to the upcoming elections, promising this and promising that. Oh, things will improve. Things will get better. And as I was saying this morning from 2 Peter in chapter 3, the word is very clear. There is the reality of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Someday the heavens will open. There will be a shout from the archangel. And the Lord visibly will return, not in humiliation, but in exaltation. And then it goes on to say that the elements of this world, the elements, will melt with fervent heat and be destroyed. It's not a positive outlook for the world. And then there will be a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness will dwell. And there is the reality of the new Jerusalem and Emmanuel's land. And we're living for that day. Let us take very seriously what the Lord Jesus Christ here is saying. Perhaps we need to repent. I know I need to repent. We need to stop passing judgment. We need to pray for unity. We need to pray that we will have the mind of Christ, and we need to pray that the Lord will revive us again. And we need to look for his coming. The mind of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, not something for the first century, something for the 21st century, something available for all the people of God. So we take stock this evening. We turn from our sin, and we turn once more to the Lord Jesus. And as I close this evening, can I ask you the question, have you been to the Lord Jesus? Yes, you know all about him, especially growing up in a village like this. You know all about him and his gospel and his work. You know that through him there is the forgiveness of sins, and in Christ there is eternal life, but perhaps you haven't been to him. You haven't turned away from your sin, and you haven't said, Lord Jesus, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. And the good news of the gospel is that if you will turn to him this evening, he will not only forgive your sin, but he will give you a new start. He will give you a power that you've never known before. And he is the covenant Lord, the one who walks with you each and every day, and who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he is the one who keeps you safe and secure for all eternity. There's no need to stay away from him this evening. No need to stay away. There are no standards we have to meet in advance. The only thing we bring to our salvation, the only thing we contribute, is the sin that we come with. He does it all. For you this evening, there is a full and free salvation. And as the Catechism says, embrace him as he's offered to you freely in the gospel. And if you would like to speak to somebody about that, as we have tea and coffee this evening, make it known to one of the elders. Speak to myself, I'm in no rush away, and we would be glad to help you. The words of Jesus, very solemn, very clear. Let us have the mind of Christ. Let us keep our eyes fixed upon Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. We pray. Lord, sometimes Your word cuts us to the heart. And yet, Lord, we need it. And this evening, Father, if we have an overcritical spirit, if we are passing judgment upon our brothers and sisters, we pray that You would forgive us. We thank You, Father, for the reality of sins forgiven. And we pray for that closer walk with our Savior. We pray that we will know afresh the power of His Holy Spirit, that we will know the joy of abiding in Christ. And Father, we know that as we do so, You will be pleased to use us in the work of Your kingdom. Lord, help us to never quench the Spirit in our own lives or in the life of Your fellowship. We pray for that soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His word. Amen.